Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: Colligated or associated words and riddles of antiquity. Chapter 3. Colligated sentences or words in the scriptures. In the search for higher insight and understanding about the essential aspects of life, a person may, at first glance, think that the expansion of knowledge and understanding will always be linked to the expansion and widening of the horizon or the diversity of one's knowledge. This kind of thinking, however, can lead a person to want to seek always for a more significant divergence and expansion of the knowledge of the existing diversity, which, by themselves, are not a guarantee of the attainment of knowledge and understanding of what in the eyes of the Lord is regarded as beneficial to an individual. If the human beings depended on the knowledge of every detail of the universe around them, one could never reach answers to the most critical and eminent questions of life. Therefore, in many situations, and probably in most or among the main ones, the path of convergence of knowledge to some aspects that are unshakably established is more relevant to the understanding of what is fundamental to life than the constant seeking of divergence or diversity. In life, there are aspects immutably defined, that are firmly established, and that will never undergo any change as much as people want or endeavor to try to attribute varieties to that which is unchangeable. Immutability this, exemplified in the following text. James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Insisting on the search for divergences in the factors that are already clearly and indeed consolidated and that are firmly established, and unduly consume the scarce time of life focused on this goal, only tends to postpone the encounter of an individual with what one needs for a substantial support to live in accordance with God's will, inclusively and mainly, regarding the aspects of eternity. The text of Ecclesiastes 12, highlighted in the previous chapter, declares that much study is wearisome to the flesh, because also when people are inclined to study intensively the variation of what will never vary, they, likewise with this kind of attitude, tend to consume their strength by never reaching a substantial and concrete point for their target. Reaping, so, successive disappointments that lead to weariness. Divergences, searches, or digressions that never lead to consistent convergence and definitions do not supply the need for knowledge of the foundation of a person's life, for how can they be like well-fixed nails, to serve as support and help, if they never converge to the point that is forever stable and in which someone can deposit his or her trust? Therefore, it is also very relevant to note in the scriptures that the unique shepherd, quoted throughout the whole Bible, does not only act in the expansion of the revelation of diversity, but also in the unfolding of unwavering words that state that the diversity of aspects, actions, or facts has the encounter with the answer of the purpose of its existence when it is exposed to concentrated, convergent, precise, and well-established definitions of the Lord, as one more example that follows. 1 Peter 1, 17-21. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. The colligated sentences, such as those presented in the text above written by Peter, but whose inspiration he received from the one shepherd, are not vague, subjective, but, yes, objective, precise, and trustworthy. Those are words that serve for clear directions and positioning for the life of those who receive them. They are words that instruct people to be aware of the necessity of convergence of the heart to the path offered to them by the Lord. They are words that show the diversity and breadth of the extensive work of God in favor of the humanity, but that also clearly expose the convergence to the purpose of such great work of Christ, so that people might be well established or firm in that which is offered to them by the Lord. The collocated sentences given by the unique shepherd, therefore, connect and consolidate words that can serve as instruction, decision, and firm support in the life of an individual. And at the same time, so that they may also serve as a basis for discernment in order that no aspect that attempts to weaken the Scriptures or that attempts to corrupt the purpose for which they were granted by God be added to them or withdrawn from them. The unique shepherd who has granted all the words of the Scriptures over the centuries is also the one shepherd who has given the collocated sentences outlined in the biblical texts. Sentences that, in turn, cooperate so that people may guide their lives in the instructions of the Lord and also so that they may, with discernment and security, ascertain other parts of the same Scriptures. If, on the one hand, the greatness of God is admirable because He has appropriately distributed the inspiration of the diversity of the Scriptures for centuries, on the other side, the power of connection, fitting, synthesis, condensation, and consolidation of the many parts that is expressed by the Lord in His written word of truth is equally amazing. It is indeed admirable to observe how writings from so many centuries have been recorded in such a way that all of them point harmoniously to the same and unique God, as well as to the uniform purposes of the Lord. It is marvelous to see how such an extensive set of writings points continuously or repeatedly to the same point, an aspect that occurs just because the Scriptures have always been granted by the inspiration of the unique eternal Shepherd. The writings of the Bible, on the one hand, express a multitude of narratives that cooperate with the expansion of knowledge and with the increase of information about the primary or essential subjects on human life on earth, as well as on the main aspects of the preparation for the life that follows after the lifetime in the earthly body. Moreover, the Scriptures do it so in a way that far transcends mere natural knowledge. They offer, already starting in their first chapter of Genesis, so many details on the most relevant subjects that a person needs to know. Nevertheless, for there to be a very practical and objective clarity about the primary and essential subjects about life, the biblical Scriptures also contain collocated sentences that summarize or associate the crucial aspects of it in a very objective, direct, or punctual manner. There are texts in the Scriptures that associate truths and consolidate them with greatness and mastery that human writers, just with their natural abilities, could never do. Thus, as one of its main characteristics, the collocated sentences or words given by the one eternal Shepherd, and recorded in the Scriptures by men and women inspired by God, can serve as a firm referential for the life of a person also in one's relationship with the other writings of the Bible. Next, then, in order to assist in the perception of how some collocated words or sentences of the Scriptures clarify and interact with other parts or manifest the foundation of other biblical texts, we intend to present in this new chapter at least some examples of the many collocated words or sentences that the Lord understood to be opportune to record in His written word of truth. The purpose of these exemplifications and considerations is to assist in the perception of some significant aspects of the modus operandi of the collocated statements in relation to other texts of the Scriptures. And this, in turn, so that what can be learned from these examples may also serve as a support for the readers of the Scriptures in the perception of other collocated words that are part of the diversity of themes covered in the Bible. Collocated sentences, or words. Example 1. Isaiah 43:11. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. The text above, recorded in the Scriptures by the prophet Isaiah, is an example of a collocated sentence with a strong and very clearly defined statement. This text expresses an assertion that contradicts any thought that presents an alternative that is contrary to the supreme lordship of God and his condition of the exclusive or unique Savior. Through the verse in reference to this new example, it can be observed that although the Bible contains some long descriptions on some themes, there is also a series of excerpts or sentences with few words that encompasses in them whole truths or that alone comprise a whole. These synthesized texts serve, at the same time, to enlighten and support other scriptures, as well as filters or guidelines to readily discern the words that oppose such comprehensive and categorical statements. As expressed in the scriptures themselves, a person, during her or his life on earth, may choose not to agree with the type of affirmation in the reference made by the prophet Isaiah. What, however, cannot be denied is that statements of this type are indeed recorded in the Bible and also that they express content that undoubtedly affects the context of how all other biblical records should be seen. There are passages in the Bible in which even a single verse contains within itself what we will call a global statement or assertion with beginning, middle, and end well defined or established. Moreover, it may even be that a verse of the kind as quoted by Isaiah does not explain the reason of the God of the Bible to be the sovereign Lord, it may also not tell what makes him the only Savior, but one thing is clear, the content of the verse affirms that God is the sovereign Lord and unique Savior. It may even be that other supplementary texts are needed to broaden the explanations on an objective and concentrated global affirmation as expressed in the excerpt of Isaiah in reference, but it is impressive to observe how a single verse of the scriptures clarifies, so precisely, that in the whole universe there is only one Savior. A declaration that, in other words, equally announces that there is no other Savior across the entire universe. The verse in reference declared by Isaiah, as a colligated sentence and that so can be compared with a well-fixed nail which a person can choose as a reliable support, clearly announces the convergence of the limit of the possibilities of the provision of salvation in the universe to just one and unique being. Due to the precision of the definition of a text such as Isaiah 44, verse 3, any human writing throughout history that did not entirely agree with it, in the sense of being presented as an instruction to be followed by an individual, also would not have the minimum elements of a harmonious connection with the word of truth. And if elsewhere in the whole Bible were possible to find a God-approved instruction that presented content contrary to the statement of Isaiah 44, verse 3, the Bible's support basis would be severely weakened. Several attempts to incorporate even more texts into the Bible were made by people throughout the centuries, but which were rejected because the fact that their contents, when compared with colligated sentences, did not in themselves offer the uniformity and adequate connections that would be necessary for them to be associated with the other scriptures already firmly established as well-fixed nails. Those who are already more familiar with the scriptures, know that the core assertions stated in them, which in this subject are being compared with colligated words or sentences, are never contradicted by the Bible itself. On the contrary, they know that they are confirmed and ratified over and over again, as displayed in two more texts below. Isaiah 44, 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, besides me there is no God. Jude 1, 25. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Alike the colligated words found in Isaiah 44, verse 3, so also the two above texts declare the convergence of salvation to a unique point in the entire universe, and for this, they serve as a firm support for those who believe in them. And if some people choose not to rely on these colligated sentences, choosing to rely on words that are not given by the one eternal shepherd, they will, sooner or later, come across the fact that they have sought support in nails that were not indeed well fixed. Colligated sentences, or words. Example 2. John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In the text of this second example, it is utmost impressive to see how such a short set of colligated words can be so extraordinary and beautiful. It is just amazing to observe how meaningful is the content of this colligate sentences spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples and then afterward announced, by the Scriptures, to the whole world. How is it even possible for one, with such mastery, be able to consolidate in just two or three lines of text the description of the history and foundation of the redemption of creation, as well as of the purpose of the salvation offered by God to humankind? Verse 16, of chapter 3 of the book of John, demonstrates an immeasurable power of synthesis and condensation as to what it covers in terms of information and as to what it encompasses regarding God's proposition for the life of each human being. Which person on earth, with just natural knowledge, could condense such a short phrase but with such immense and extensive implications like those found in verse 16 of John 3? Who could, with due propriety and truthfulness, declare a sentence so small, but with statements of such magnitude? So, colligated sentences of the Scriptures that briefly and objectively affirm who and how God is, as well as what God desires for creation, therefore, should never cease to be in the heart and the sight of the people, for they are protections for them so that they might grow in the knowledge of other subjects and delve into them without deflecting from the crucial points of the Christian life. The colligated sentences that the unique shepherd has announced to the world serve as instruction and support so that a person can rely on them in order to also be solidly and firmly built on the rock of eternal salvation, which is the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son that has been given to humankind by God. Psalms 89, 26. He shall cry to me, "You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation." 1 Corinthians 3, 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Colligated sentences, or words. Example 3. This third example refers to a complement of some texts also addressed in the subject named Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, pointing here to the fact that when some texts of the Bible are also viewed from the standpoint of colligated sentences granted by the unique shepherd, they accentuate even more intensely that the Scriptures, already from a few words or declarations, contain contents that express an enormous implication for the life of all the people who inhabit the earth. In one of the examples of the above referred subject, two texts approached in it, in their condensed form of instruction, present an expression of very objective colligated sentences. And this, so that a Christian knows that one does not need, and nor should, incur again in submission to the law of Moses because the fact that the same texts, likewise in a very concise, firm, and secure way, also announce the new condition that a person reaches in God when one receives Christ as the Lord of his or her life. Let us recall below, then, again the mentioned texts. Romans 3, 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Romans 6, 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. However, if a Christian disregards colligated sentences, such as those quoted above, and no longer considers them as God's firm instruction for one's life, one also despises the fixing nails of the steps of one's journey, placing oneself in imminent danger of being again entangled by aspects of which one had already been set free by the Lord. When Paul recorded the statement that whatever the law says, the law of Moses, it says to those who are under the law, this assertion has also become a colligated sentence of firm instruction to those who are not under this law, for also regarding it, Christians can come to have a well-established conviction and peace of heart for knowing that the law of Moses is not directed to them, in the sense that they should practice the most varied commandments of this law. And this last statement of Paul in reference can also serve as a firm word of caution or warning about the heavy burden that the obligation to fulfill the entire law imposes upon the one who is subject to it. Going still a little further, while observing the second text above in reference, it may also be noted that the scriptures are not limited just to the presentation of collocated sentences which distinctly inform the aspects of life that a Christian is not called to submit to or what a Christian should abstain from. On the contrary, the biblical records, and with great abundance, also present, with much clarity and firmness, the precious collocated sentences that point to the aspects in which Christians can find what is available to them for the Christian life or their lives in the Lord, exemplified below in another text. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So, by making an association of the two connected sentences set forth at the beginning of this third example, it is possible to observe extensively, already from these two texts, that by the subjection to the law of Moses people enter the way of condemnation because of the posture of injustice for trying to achieve justification by their own works. A path in which, however, no one else needs to enter or follow, considering that by the knowledge and the receiving of the gospel of Christ, through faith in the Lord Jesus, anyone can join the path of grace that leads to the knowledge of the redemptive righteousness of God. The collocated and well-fixed sentences, therefore, also carry in their content the instructions that express firmly and explicitly the way that God presents for people to receive the eternal salvation offered to them from the heavenly kingdom. Moreover, any word that attempts to counteract the purpose of salvation and newness of life presented by the Heavenly Father through grace offered in Christ Jesus and which He announced to the world by the unwavering collocated sentences, is automatically evidenced as an instruction or path that opposes the eternal will of God, and might, therefore, also be readily identified and rejected by those who yearn and care for walking in accordance with the gospel of God's grace and righteousness. The writings of the Bible show the paths that converge to the righteousness of God, as well as the ways that converge against the righteousness of God. Therefore, the reading and studying of the scriptures should continuously be accompanied by the firm and eternal collocated sentences which serve as a stable reference point for the reader to keep his or her heart on the straight path of the Lord. Collocated sentences, or words. Example 4. By observing the biblical scriptures in more detail, it is possible to see that several key texts containing complete and fundamental truths are exhibited in them, as seen in previous examples. And it is these key texts that are being considered, so far in this subject, as the collocated words or sentences that were given by the unique shepherd so that those who hear them may also benefit from the steadfast support that is associated with them. On the other hand, however, as has also been commented previously, there are in the scriptures some parts that depend on other key texts of the own biblical writings to be appropriately understood or to be comprehended more broadly and in conformity with an accurate revelation of the truth that supports them. That is, there are several texts in the records of the Word of God that depend on the collocated sentences presented by the Lord also in the scriptures for that the truth, contained in the first, can be adequately identified or for that the truth recorded in them can be seen in agreement with other fundamental aspects of the truth also exposed in the Bible. In other words, if some collocated sentences are not previously understood or assimilated by those who intend to know the scriptures, also other texts that have their fundamental explanation in these collocated sentences may not be adequately understood. Therefore, repeating once again, the collocated sentences of the scriptures, in addition to serving as a support to those who lean on them, also serve to enlighten other parts of the scriptures themselves. Thus, the knowledge and comprehension of some particular collocated sentences can serve as a key to a new, broader, and much more accurate understanding of the actual foundation behind of several other portions of the scriptures. The truths revealed by the collocated sentences serve as guidelines for the study of other parts of the scriptures, and so, they also serve as a shield against the undue variance of interpretation and application of the texts from the Word of God. Although many collocated words are expressed in summarized or condensed sentences, they are not short excerpts just for a person to memorize them and have them on the tip of the tongue. The knowledge of collocated sentences also serves as a beacon for an individual to relate to the other parts of the Word of God safely, as well as to help a person so that one does not deflect from the path of truth when he or she has an encounter with the diversity of other texts of the same Bible. Since one same theme may have been approached in the scriptures from different angles throughout the writings of the whole Bible, the collocated sentences also play a crucial role to highlight the uniformity of the equal or similar subjects that are distributed in several parts of the written Word of God. The fact that the texts of similar subjects are distributed in distinct parts of the Bible does not, in any way, diminish their stability and credibility, since the collocated sentences unite them in spite of the time and place where they were granted by God to be considered as part of the Scriptures. Peter 1, 25. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. To make known the fundamental aspects of his written word manifested to humankind, the unique eternal shepherd also disclosed in the scriptures several collocated sentences that expressly announce and declare characteristics that are inseparable from some other particular parts of the Bible. To illustrate, then, the use of some collocated sentences that elucidate multiple texts and the fundamental aspects of a specific or similar theme distributed in various parts of the Bible, we will use multiple approaches of the scriptures themselves about the subject of wisdom. And to begin with this exemplification, we would first like to see some texts found in one of the books of the Bible named Proverbs, which is part of the so-called Old Testament and probably also contains most of the scriptures that make direct reference to the word wisdom, among which we mention some verses below. Proverbs 4, 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Proverbs 3, 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. Proverbs 8, 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Proverbs 8, 12. Wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. Proverbs 11, 2. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. While reading these quoted texts from the book of Proverbs on wisdom, in which there are still many others on the same subject, a person who gives attention to them may, even quickly, feel impelled to acquire and maintain the mentioned wisdom in his or her life. This person may yet make huge efforts to try to achieve this so relevant and necessary aspect. However, just from the reading of the book of Proverbs, is it already possible to uncover easily or precisely what is this wisdom to which the texts of this book refer and which a person should also seek intensively? The book of Proverbs is emphatic about how essential it is for a person's life to relate well with the wisdom, but is it indeed possible to realize, just by reading the texts of Proverbs, what kind of wisdom the book is referring to and that is also so often mentioned in it? Is the wisdom to be sought, the one that is deposited in the servers of the internet? Is it the wisdom found in libraries around the world? Or is it the wisdom found in older people or the millennial knowledge of philosophers? Or would it be the wisdom spread out by consultants, mentors, leaders, or professors? Or yet, the one that is propagated by actors and players who announce their advice based on their ephemeral successes of public exposure or their quick financial successes. Indeed, there are many texts in the very book of Proverbs that mention the relevance of wisdom, but if the wisdom to which they refer was human wisdom, would these texts be in fact like well-fixed nails? Could knowledge by itself or knowing natural things actually sustain lives on the level of protection that is attributed to the wisdom that is presented in the book of Proverbs? Returning to the texts of Ecclesiastes, we can recall that the Eternal Shepherd is the unique one who grants collocated sentences that are like well-fixed nails. Could someone else, then, without being appropriately supported by some collocated sentences conferred to humanity by the Eternal Lord, identify what kind of wisdom the Book of Proverbs is referencing? As mentioned earlier, the collocated sentences are also like those fitting pins, wood, metal, or stone nails, that fasten all the parts that make up a whole. And is it not the case that the texts of Proverbs, on the subject of wisdom, are also those writings which need to have their foundation and basis of fixation previously defined by other words of the unique shepherd? So, following our example of wisdom, are there in the Bible any collocated sentences that can give firmness to so many Proverbs texts that speak of the need for wisdom and understanding? Something important to note at this point is that if in relation to some particular theme, there is also in the scriptures a sentence or text that defines its core characteristics, foundation, or guidelines. That is, a collocated sentence that has the function of supporting many others' words and texts, each of the verses of the texts that refer to the theme also addressed by the collocated sentence needs to be seen, primarily, by what the collocated sentence revealed on the subject in reference. Therefore, if in the scriptures there is a collocated sentence which reveals to which wisdom or kind of wisdom the Lord refers to when he admonishes and instructs people to search for it, this collocated sentence becomes a referential or a north that also determines what is the kind of wisdom that the other texts are narrating and about which they are exposing a series of details and characteristics. Thus, a collocated sentence, by clarifying the essence of some terms, concepts, or principles that are mentioned in other texts of the scriptures, expands the possibility of a more specific understanding of themes narrated throughout the Bible records, but also, at the same time, it restricts the breadth of what people might think that was contemplated by some texts of the written word of truth. To be informed through a collocated sentence on what is the essence or type of wisdom to which the Lord refers in Proverbs allows, then, that a person can use the texts of Proverbs to know more fully the aspects of the particular wisdom revealed by the collocated sentence. However, on the other hand, it also implies that one should no longer look at the whole subject of wisdom in the perspective or expectation of a kind of wisdom to which God is not referring to in this same book. When a person is supported by the collocated sentences, one can use the other texts that address the same theme as an addition, enlarging, and contribution with what is revealed by the collocated sentence. Once a collocated sentence is known, the other texts serve as a complement to the core or primary teaching revealed by the collocated sentence. On the other hand, however, when someone lacks the knowledge of the collocated sentence that reveals or defines a particular central aspect of other biblical texts, many doubts may linger over the essence of the latter, and even many erroneous, dangerous, or destructive interpretations may surface. So, as a practical exercise in the search for collocated sentences that reveal or clarify to which wisdom the book of Proverbs makes such a broad mention, we would like to suggest the observation of the following groups of texts. The first group of texts. James 3:14-17. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Through the writings recorded by James, the Lord, the unique eternal shepherd, presents words that indicate the clear or real need for well-fixing nails regarding the subject of wisdom. Looking at the above text of James, from the viewpoint of collocated and concise sentences, it can be understood that the focus of the book of Proverbs, actually, is not pointing in the direction that people should seek to obtain what is commonly called in the world as wisdom. That is, it is not any type of wisdom that can provide the benefits that are associated with the one described in the book of Proverbs, not being sufficient for a person to possess only the terrestrial knowledge and the forms of applications of this natural knowledge. When the theme of the wisdom of the book of Proverbs is read from the standpoint of the collocated sentences outlined in the book of James, it is evident that it is necessary that this reading should also be associated with the content exposed in this New Testament book in reference. While in the book of Proverbs is found a detailing of the sublimity of wisdom, and how great is the value of it to the person who finds it, in the book of James it is exposed that there is only one wisdom capable of producing the virtues that are associated with the wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And yet, the aspect that distinguishes the true and profitable wisdom, from that which is not beneficial, is the source from which it is provided. A bad or distorted source cannot produce the wisdom described in Proverbs. So, to find the wisdom described in this book, a person needs, first of all, receive the right wisdom also from the correct or true source. Is it not the fact that many people do not approach to the source of true wisdom, one of the main reasons why so many attempts of actions called wise fail over and over again? Would it not be the lack of distinction of what kind of wisdom that people should follow, one of the central aspects that cause many to tread on steps fixed with inappropriate nails or even without well-fixed nails, also leading them to stumble so frequently? Moreover, in the text of James in reference, we can still emphasize the following words as being a collocated sentence within other collocated sentences, namely, the wisdom that is from above. The expression "the wisdom that is from above" is a grouping or association of words that establishes an entire unusual reference to the ways by which the vast majority of people seek for wisdom. The wisdom that is from above is a gathering of words that exposes an indispensable well-fixed nail to every subject on wisdom and comprehension. After a person perceives this collocated sentence that clarifies that the wisdom that is from above is the one that actually contains the wisdom that the Lord offers to people who practice fellowship with Him, the whole reading of Proverbs, and also other parts of the scriptures on the subject of wisdom, should have an entire renewed perspective. If a person reads the passages of Proverbs thinking that they are referring to any wisdom and that is dissociated from the wisdom that God grants from above, one will be seeking instructions of words that will not stand, for they will not be fixed by the nails of the collocated sentences given by the one shepherd, and which precisely define what is true and lasting wisdom. The text of James, as a collocated sentence of inestimable value, clarifies for the present and the future what the texts of Proverbs say precisely to be sought with so much appreciation and intensity, namely, the wisdom which is in God and proceeds from God. And so, once this collocated sentence has been established on the wisdom that is from above as a well-fixed nail, yet another question may become more evident, namely, how, then, does a person obtain the wisdom that is from above? Until here, through the text of James quoted above, it may be seen that a point of support has already been obtained as to the revelation of which wisdom an individual should look for, but there is still a need for another support point to reach a more practical position regarding the Proverbs texts about wisdom. In the set of collocated sentences exposed in the foregoing paragraphs, it was remarked that the wisdom that should be sought primarily is the wisdom that is from above. But as a second nail to be well fixed, it is now necessary to move towards a search for more objective texts about the means or manner by which a person can obtain this wisdom from on high. The need for a second fixation point no longer has its focus on what a person should be looking for to achieve, but on how to reach it. Thus, showing the necessity of grouping and fixing yet another set of words or texts, that is, of another colligated sentence that reveals or clarifies the way, the form, the point, or the place in which or by which the wisdom that is from above can be achieved. The verses in the book of Proverbs strongly assert the relevance of a person to lean the heart to wisdom. The verses above from the book of James, in turn, clarify what particular wisdom is the one to which people should incline their ears and heart. At this point, however, remains yet to be achieved, a more substantial clarification on how a person can connect, while still on earth, to this wisdom that is from above. Let us see next, therefore, a few other texts on wisdom and also on the conditions for obtaining it. The second group of texts. Proverbs 11, 2. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. James 4, 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Psalms 138, 6. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Mentions in the book of Proverbs about wisdom and those included in the scriptures thousands of years later through James, do not refer to distinct types of wisdom. By the explanation of the colligated sentence of the book of James, seen earlier, it is made clear that both sets of texts deal with the same wisdom, but from James' texts, a more excellent clarity is revealed about what precisely is the wisdom to which the scriptures make such great references. Moreover, applying the explanation presented in the book of James also in the context of the search for wisdom, now knowing that this applies specifically to the wisdom that is from above, it can be seen, also in the scriptures, that one of the central elements for a successful pursuit of wisdom is the condition of humility of the one who longs for the attainment of this wisdom. For instance, the sentences of the scriptures of this second group of texts, which summarize the way God sees pride and humility, are like very well-defined nails in the matter of obtaining or not obtaining the wisdom that is from above. If a person wants to establish oneself in pride to obtain the wisdom mentioned in Proverbs, and clarified in the book of James as being the wisdom that is from above, he or she will be disregarding the colligated sentence that teaches that the attainment of this wisdom goes hand in hand with the condition of humility of a person before the Lord and also before other people. And still looking at the last set of texts exposed above, it can be seen that wisdom, obviously now understood as being the wisdom that is from above, may also come to be with a person, showing that the access to this wisdom might be very close to the one who, humbly, comes to have it nearby to his or her life. When a person reaches the grace of God to understand the colligated sentences of the scriptures, and in humility also passes to cherish them and rely on them, a significant change can take place in the way that one reads and sees those writings. However, even more, there might also be an extraordinary change of circumstances in the life of those who keep the words of the Lord addressed to them, for the wisdom that is from above also might dwell with them. Thus, and still continuing with the example of wisdom, let us look for a further set of texts, showing that there are still other colligated sentences in the scriptures that reveal even greater sublimity and depth on this so essential subject. The third group of texts. 1 Corinthians 1, 24-31. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. If a person reads only the book of Proverbs, one may even conclude that the wisdom one should seek is the set of wise counsel and information that is in the world or with those that are considered wise in its eyes. If, However, a person also reads the theme of wisdom in the book of James, one will be able to perceive, with greater clarity, what kind of wisdom should be sought primarily, and yet what are some postures that one should adopt so that he or she might be favored to receive the needed aspects of the wisdom that is granted for real benefit. Nevertheless, going still further, from a detailed reading also of the collocated sentences presented in the text of the first chapter of the letter to the Corinthians, the subject of the search for wisdom is exposed to an entirely new instruction. A very different revelation is disclosed before the life of the reader of this text, allowing the light on the theme of wisdom to manifest it by a broader and more explicit way as it had not been written until then. The text of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, does not weaken the relevance that the book of Proverbs attaches to the search for wisdom, nor does it depreciate the virtues of wisdom that are described in that book or in the writings of James. However, this text of 1 Corinthians gives a very accurate perspective about an essential and fundamental part of what is, in fact, the wisdom of God and where this wisdom is stored and made available. With the information of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, it becomes more clarified the declaration of Proverbs that treats wisdom also as a personal name, which speaks as a person, and which, in fact, is a living and real being. Proverbs 8:12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. Repeating once again, regarding the book of Proverbs, various texts were seen on the relevance of wisdom concerning an individual's life, whereas, in the book of James, it is given to know that the genuinely fruitful wisdom is the wisdom that is from above. And, still, in James and the Psalms, it was seen that this wisdom from above is given by God to people through His grace and to those who receive it with humility of heart. However, even more expressive is the change of perspective that is disclosed by the collocated sentences of 1 Corinthians 1, verses 24 and 30, for they affirm that Christ is the wisdom of God that is made available by the Heavenly Father to human beings. The wisdom that comes from above is granted by grace to those who open their heart in humility to receive it, but the manifested wisdom of God, before all and above all, is the living Christ who is given to the heart of the one who receives the salvation offered by the Lord. So, the instruction about the importance of the search for wisdom described in various parts of the Scriptures is clarified, from the information presented by a collocated sentence found in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, as referring to the search and acceptance of a relationship with a specific person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God announces that it is in the Lord Jesus Christ that dwells the prudence, the fullness of knowledge, and divine counsels for all life and existence. Thus, having this new collocated sentence as a firm well-fixed nail of support, it is also evidenced in the Scriptures that the wisdom that is from above is given to those who seek with humility of heart the Lord Jesus Christ and who also persevere in the relationship with Him. Therefore, the text of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, or 30, is a collocated sentence that reveals the unambiguous path or firm basis for the search of wisdom from on high and which action is so encouraged in the other parts of the Scriptures, an aspect also expressed in the following text. Colossians 2:2-3. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Because of the collocated words revealed by the unique shepherd, the human beings have passed to receive a precise instruction from the Lord not to incline the heart primarily to the pursuit of wisdom based on natural knowledge and abilities, but to the wisdom granted to them by a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who knows and in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Moreover, considering that the wisdom that is from above is found and has a solid foundation in Christ, sharing it with people does not necessarily depend on the intellectual capacity and educational training of those who receive it from Christ, but, first of all, from the active relationship of each individual with the Lord Jesus and the unfailing ability of Christ to grant the wisdom from on high to those who seek Him as their unique Shepherd and Lord. Not even the schools that call themselves Bible seminars can guarantee that their students will attain true wisdom, for the granting of it does not depend on the much studying the books or writing on the subject, but depends, first and foremost, on the direct relationship, without mediators, of an individual with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The central purposes of Christ's work on earth, including the act of giving Himself to death on the cross of Calvary, did not, precisely, also aim at the liberation of people from the fragility and corruption of their own thoughts and sins in order to return to reconciliation with God and be instructed by the higher wisdom that produces eternal and not just ephemeral benefits. Without the knowledge and acceptance of the collocated words revealed by the unique Shepherd also in the New Testament, an individual continues to walk uncertainly on fragile steps about what in fact is the wisdom that the Lord offers. However, by accepting the Lord's words grouped in collocated sentences, great enlightenment is given to the heart of those who welcome them in their life. Ephesians 5, 14. Therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Finally, in this chapter, we would like to mention that the theme of wisdom discussed above is certainly worthy of an even much broader approach. However, this will not be done at this point, since in this material, the references to wisdom were more intended to serve as an example of how meaningful it is to know the essential themes of life according to the collocated sentences given to humankind by the unique Shepherd. The example of wisdom has been used with the aim of highlighting how necessary it is to correlate the similar subjects of the Bible with the own texts of the Scriptures that reveal the fundamental aspects of each of these subjects, for by the process of these connections of texts, a broad clarification can be added, as well as significant distortions and misunderstandings can be avoided. Therefore, the exercise of the correlations of texts exemplified for wisdom might also be performed for different subjects, such as the other attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ presented in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, when it is declared that Christ is also our righteousness, redemption, and sanctification. Seeking, therefore, the righteousness of God in the first place is also to seek, first of all, a relationship with Christ, our righteousness. Aspect this, that also applies to the search for redemption and sanctification. Even the act of praying for the righteousness of God on behalf of all the people in the world should be understood as a request to God so that they, in the first place, receive an ample and clear opportunity to know Christ, the benefits of His redemptive work and justice, His wisdom, and so on. All the books in the Bible have great instructions of life for Christians, but the revelation of how they can be practiced in safety or on a firm foundation is manifested when they are associated with the truths of the collocated sentences which God has also recorded throughout the Scriptures and that point to His only begotten Son, the eternal and unshakable Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fundamental collocated sentence to which all aspects of God's will converge. Ephesians 1, 9-10. Having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. John 1, 1-5 and 9-18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." To conclude, then, the ongoing example of colligated words, and looking once again at how meaningful is the understanding of the Scriptures according to God's purpose in each of its parts. We would like to remind that the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, to help those who want to know and walk in the path of truth, also grant them a singular instructor and comforter who is well equipped and capable of guiding them on this journey of perception and understanding of what they need to know about the so essential colligated sentences announced by the unique shepherd to humanity. John 14:26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." John 16:13. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will tell you things to come."